Welcome to another episode of Mini Fellowship in Movement Disorders, where we take most challenging concepts in movement disorders and simplify them into easy-to-follow explanations. I'm your host, Danish Bahati, a movement disorder neurologist who loves to teach physicians online, especially in the developing countries. This question is about freezing. So the question is, what's the difference between start hesitation and gait freezing? I was of the impression they are the same thing. And then there is a reference to a paper by Bansal, Prakash and Kai et al. Titled Movement Disorders After Stroke in Adults, a Review. And it has been published in 2012 in the Tremor, Other Hyperkinetic Movement Disorders Journal. So start hesitation and gait freezing. What are the differences? Are the same things or are they different? It's a very interesting question. I have not specifically thought of it before. And I did look at the paper and quickly jumped to that area where they were noticing both start hesitation and gait freezing can occur with vascular Parkinsonism. And the way the sentence was written, it made it sound like there are two separate things. Technically speaking, start hesitation is a freezing of gait. However, I think the interesting point to note is that the freezing of gait that only happens in the start is considered purely a gait initiation failure. So that start hesitation or gait initiation failure is a freezing that only occurs in the start of a gait. While a classic gait freezing is seen most often at turning, especially in narrow spaces. So if the patient is walking in a narrow corridor and you ask them to stop and turn and come back, and as they stop and try to turn, that hesitation is the classic gait freezing. But of course, we see gait freezing in many other situations. So other common situations are crossing a threshold, meaning that going from one room to the other through a doorway, especially if the doorway is narrow. So if I am getting a history of freezing and I want to be making sure that what the patient is describing was freezing, I ask the patient to come outside of the room to walk in the hallway, but I only partially open the door. And we have really heavy doors which are very difficult to open for patient examination rooms. So most patients don't make an effort to open it any further. And I see patient make an attempt of getting out of that narrow door in outside of the room, coming out of the room and then going back into the room, which is another common occurrence of gait freezing that happens. And then gait freezing, when it becomes more frequent, is present throughout various stages of gait. But another common phenomena is stopping and then starting again, but that makes it more of a gait initiation failure or start hesitation. But freezing can happen in an ongoing gait without any pause. And when the gait freezing is severe, it is happening every few steps, very frequently, bothersome way. So gait freezing is what we classically associate with Parkinson's disease and also things like progressive supranuclear palsy or other atypical Parkinsonism. The gait initiation failure or start hesitation has been described in many other syndromes. You know, vascular Parkinsonism was the paper about, but another big area of research for us in Nebraska medicine is orthostatic tremor. And we have described this phenomena that there is a strong start hesitation in patients with orthostatic tremors as they stand up from sitting position and start to walk. Especially, it gets amplified if they don't have a clear, straight path to walk, meaning that once they get up and they stand, they have to get their bearing and readjust themselves in some ways to try to negotiate a curve or some obstacles in front of them. And that really amplifies the start hesitation or gait initiation problems in those patients. But many other situations have been described with gait initiation failure. Something like normal pressure hydrocephalus or NPH has been described, tumors in the brain, and so on and so forth. Now, the question would be that are they similar phenomena or not? Meaning that is the pathophysiology of the brain same or different? Is start hesitation just a forme fruste of gait freezing or a shortened form of gait freezing? And that is an interesting question. I'm not sure if there is any data on it of how many patients or how often the patients have isolated gait freezing or isolated start hesitation in Parkinson's disease, for example, keeping it pure to see, does PD patient only have gait freezing or only have start hesitation or both in what percentage? And that will be and interesting data to look at and know, and that they could then lead to this hypothesis that maybe there are different pathophysiology or circuits for gate initiation versus a gate freezing. I would venture a guess that because gate freezing is often seen at turning, and in some ways turning is stopping and starting, and actually multiple times, if you see the on-block turning of Parkinson's patient or multi-step turning, where they stop and they take a turn and then they take another step turn and they take, so they make like a semicircular arc to make the turn. So in that sense, they are actually stopping at every step and starting again. And maybe the gate freezing of turning is nothing more than a start hesitation or gate initiation problem. However, most patients with freezing eventually do develop a freezing on just routine walking without an obvious stop. Now, yes, often they develop it when they stop and then start again, but that's not always present or not always required or not always easily observed unless there is a micro stop and then restart that happened that was just not observable by visual eyes, and that will be a question to address with biomechanical sensors that have that kind of a microsecond sensitivity. To learn more about the mini fellowship, visit our website for University of Nebraska Medical Center, Department of Neurological Sciences, where you can be part of the community and ask us questions. You can write to me on mdclinicforyou@gmail.com. It's mdclinic4u@gmail.com. And follow me on YouTube for longer discussions by searching for Danish Bahati, D-A-N-I-S-H, space B-H-A-T-T-I. You can also find me on Twitter @DanishBahati_MD and on LinkedIn.